Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. Yesterday was a very good day for the New York Mets because two things that were critical happened. One, you got good news on Francisco Lindor. There wasn't anything horrible there with his back with the MRI, so he's just going to be out for a couple of games. You hope that he comes back healthy and carries his team the rest of the way to the postseason. Of course, Starling Marte being the hero last night as the Mets come back and beat the Nationals in another thriller, so that was good. And if you're one of these Giants fans that is now looking for other people's pain to make you happy because your franchise is a mess and gets off to another 0-2 start, you got a little bit of that last night with the Philadelphia Eagles, a big Saquon Barkley drop, and of course they lose in dramatic fashion as Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons, go down the field and win in the fourth quarter. But one thing that has to stop, and I don't know if you're with me on this or not, Boomer, one thing that has to stop is this Saquon Barkley should have been on the Giants. Saquon Barkley, the Giants are letting him go. It's over. He's gone. He shouldn't have been here. They offered him a contract. He turned it down, got a little more guaranteed money. They shouldn't have paid him. They got bigger issues than Saquon Barkley not being here. So let him go. Let him do his thing. And if you feel great about him dropping a big pass last night, great. But Joe Shane has not made a lot of good decisions. Letting Saquon Barkley go was a good decision.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I don't think we'll know about that decision until the season is over, until we see all 17 games, how impactful he is for the Philadelphia Eagles, and whether or not the Eagles make it to the playoffs and make it all the way to the Super Bowl, and he's a big part of it. So we're just started into a season. He obviously is a big part of their offense. And quite frankly, you're going to hear a lot of Philadelphia fans probably complaining last night about the play that was called between Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley that ended up losing the game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They run the play 1,000 times in practice. They've been practicing this play for this particular moment, you know, since OTA. So all the player has to do is make the catch and the game is over, and it goes right off Saquon Barkley's hands, much like it went off Malik Nabers' hands. These plays are practiced over and over and over and over, and this is an easy first down for the Eagles. They're going to, you know, basically bleed out the clock, and they're going to win the game. Saquon,
why even throw the ball?
You know why? Because you're going to win. This is what you do when you want to win football games, you know, and this is how coaches do it nowadays. Other teams may have run it back in the day when I played. They'd run it and they'd run down the clock. They'd kick a field goal, whatever. But, you know, this is a situation where you got one play, you got your two best players, you make the play, game is over. That's it. Simple. And the players do not do what they're supposed to do. It was a perfect throw by Jalen Hurts, and Saquon just took his eyes off the ball and didn't make the play. So it's the same thing with Malik Neighbors. Same thing. I mean, we can go back and forth. Shouldn't you have kicked this? Shouldn't you have kicked? You know what? I call that an aggressive play call to win the game. That's what that was. And I have no problem with that because they knew they had the field goal in their back pocket. So why not do this? And I know that Troy and Joe, you know, there's always two sides to every discussion point when it comes to a situation like this in the NFL. My thing is the Eagles said, you know what? We're going to go for it. We got our best players, and we're going to let them do what they do every single day in practice. But for some reason, a guy can't catch a ball when the game's on the line. I don't know what to tell you. You know, that's maybe one of the reasons why the Giants didn't want him here. I don't know. But again, to go back to your initial sentiment, yeah, I'm tired of all that stuff too. But we got to see what it looks like after 17
games. But
even if he
has a great season for the Eagles, that doesn't mean that Saquon Barkley should have stayed with the Giants. There's just nothing about what Saquon Barkley brought to that team that it would have been smart to bring him back with the money that they were going to pay him. I mean, if Saquon Barkley were on this Giants team, do you really think they'd be that much better than they were in the first 2 weeks? He'd been here forever, and they stunk every year that he's been here.
I don't think so. I think that their defense has got big problems. That's what I think. I think they tried to fix their defense in the offseason to a certain extent with their front seven, but I do think that their defense has got problems. Now, it's a new defensive coordinator. He's figuring out his players. The players are figuring out his scheme. This defensive coordinator has a track record of being successful at Tennessee under Mike Vrabel. He kind of comes from that Dean Pease kind of Vrabel, Belichick, you know, bend don't break kind of defense, you know, force the offense to make plays like Philadelphia did not make last night when the game was on the line. But, you know, on the flip side of all of this, for me anyway, watching last night, I was happy to see Kirk Cousins do what he did because much like Aaron Rodgers coming off of an Achilles injury, you know, they didn't play great in the first game that they had, and they came back and you saw a guy at the end of the game come through in a big way. And I mean, he threw some
on
great
a national
passes.
TV game, yeah, which is something that everybody has criticized him for since the second he's been in the league. You can't win primetime games, and this was a big one for him.
Well, I'm happy for him because he threw a number of great passes late in this game, especially on that last drive. He was like bing, 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 like he was right on it, and there was no pass rush. And again, probably no pass rush because it's still early in the season. It's the fourth quarter. Guys get exhausted. Guys don't have the same legs that they have early on in the game. And I'm sure they're mentally exhausted as well as they are physically exhausted. And he did exactly what a veteran quarterback should have done. And only one pass that he threw that was a little underthrown, but it was caught. Every other pass, man, was right there. And he just went right down the field, surgically dissecting the Eagle defense, which I actually kind of enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not? Watching
a
guy.
I just wish it would have happened like at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, as opposed to
12:30.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, I was gonna say 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
But thinking about the NFC, and I understand that it's very early, and as you said many times, the first 4 weeks are now like the preseason, but. You know, some of the better teams in the NFC coming in had, you know, really bad weeks this week. You know, the San Francisco 49ers losing to the Minnesota Vikings, the Philadelphia Eagles losing last night in the way that they did, the Detroit Lions losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Dallas Cowboys getting their teeth kicked in by the New Orleans Saints.
Which is amazing. It's amazing. It was a crazy week in the NFC.
Right, exactly. Especially in the NFC with some of the better teams that we thought coming in. So I don't know how much you read into it, but I mean, it feels after a couple of weeks that conference is wide open. I'm sure the 49ers will get it together, and Christian McCaffrey is going to be out for a number of weeks, but I'm sure they're still going to be the one
to
beat.
You. They put him on that they put him on IR, which is going to be at minimum 4 weeks. Any sort of Achilles calf situation, they got to be really, really careful. And, they don't want that thing popping on him. And so they're going to make sure that he is 100%. We may not see him for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We may not see him, maybe 8 games left in the season by the time he comes back because of that injury and how sensitive the entire sports world is when it comes to these Achilles situations. I remember, obviously, we had Danny Marino with the Achilles, Benny Testaverde with the Achilles. I just feel like it's so more prevalent now. Again, it's like knee injuries. It's like arm injuries in baseball. Mm. These things are legitimate now, and they are worrisome, to say the least. And everybody is just kid gloves when it comes to an injury like this.
Yeah, I mean, you saw two high-profile ones last year with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, those, I think that's fresh in people's minds. And then we know the Kevin Durant, when he popped his Achilles in a very crucial moment in a, you know, an NBA Finals. I mean, it's crazy to think about how many of those big high profile Achilles injuries have been out there, and how much you've also seen like the calf be a part of that prior to the Achilles going. So this is another one of those situations. So they got to be very careful. Another big football news, and also in the NFC as well, is Bryce Young being benched by the Carolina Panthers, and Andy Dalton getting that opportunity. Now, right off the bat, I heard the afternoon guys here and Sean Morash and Tiki and Evan and Tommy talking about it yesterday when I was in the car, about how the Giants should reach out to the Carolina Panthers and try to make a deal to bring Bryce Young in here and pair him with Brian Daboll and see if Brian Daboll can get something out of him. I really don't think the Carolina Panthers are going to give up on him that quickly. One year after drafting him number one overall. It'd be interesting if they did. I mean, the 49ers gave up on Trey Lance very quickly, but they had Brock Purdy. You know, the Carolina Panthers, you know, they've got Andy Dalton, who's a veteran, but he's not going to be the future of the organization. I think they really would like Bryce Young to be good, so I don't think they're going to end up trading him. But I mean, it is a mess in Carolina. I mean, they stink. He looks terrible. Number one overall pick. I mean, not only does he look bad, doesn't look like he belongs because he's so small. So that Dave Canales is not messing around, man. Take a seat, young man.
I'll say that, you know, I can only speak from what I know and what I think I know. And
okay.
This goes back to last year when he was a rookie. So in week three last year, the Carolina Panthers sat him down because he got hurt in week two. And Andy Dalton did take over, and they went out to Seattle. And, you know, Frank was still the coach there. They called 58 pass plays, and Andy Dalton threw for like 368 yards.
Yeah.
And he wanted to play. Well, I believe he wanted to play. I don't know this for a fact, but I do believe that he wanted to play Andy for a much more significant amount of time to give Bryce a chance to just calm down and just see it. And he was told not to. He was told he had to go back to Bryce. This is the kind of crap that, you know, when ownership gets involved and people who are not coaching get involved, this is the kind of thing that happens. So Dave Canales probably recognized that the team has lost all belief in their quarterback and probably went into the owner's office and said, look, man, you know, he's just not ready. The team doesn't believe in him. And if you want to continue to go down this road and you want to be, you know, non-competitive and you want to continue to get your ass kicked, then I'll continue to play him. I'm assuming this is how this thing went. He goes, he's just not ready. We got to put Andy in there. Let Andy settle everybody down. Give Andy a chance to win some games here. And we'll bring Bryce back when we think he's ready. But there also may be something going on in that locker room that they know that they don't have a chance with Bryce Young. And once you start to lose the locker room about who's playing quarterback, you don't really have a chance to recover from that.
Yeah, so I guess it wasn't Frank Reich. I guess he wasn't the problem there in Carolina
because they fired him mid-season. You know, Frank took the job knowing the parameters of the job and other things that he had to be accepting of. And, you know, these coaches, they want jobs. And that coach, that job opened up in a place where, you know, his three daughters live. And I think one of his daughters actually works for the Panthers prior to him being hired there. Mm. So it worked out. It would, from a family standpoint, it was great for him. And that's one of the reasons why he took the job. But the job was wrought with all sorts of different issues internally that, you know, you don't know that until you get in there and then you start seeing what's happening. And half the organization's pulling one way, the other half is pulling the other way. And then you got the owner who's, you know, he's heading into Daniel Snyder territory in terms of being an unliked owner in the NFL. So you have a lot of different issues going on down there. And the best way to change things is to bench the quarterback that can't get the job done and put the other guy in there and at least give your first round draft pick your first overall draft pick a chance just to sit on the sideline and just watch for a minute.
Yeah, I'm projecting way into the future and making a lot of assumptions, but this Bryce Young disaster could have a major impact on the New York Giants at the end of the year.
Because, in terms of the draft,
yes,
there'll be another team looking for a quarterback.
Right, that you would have never expected to in year two after drafting the guy number one overall. You would have been like, okay, they're not going to need a quarterback. They might.
Yeah, but I just don't see Deion Sanders letting Shedeur Sanders go to Carolina for that owner or going to the Giants. I see him.
Well, I mean, there's other
wanting
quarterbacks.
Wanting to go play for Antonio Pierce and the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, but I'm not just talking about Shedeur. I mean, you've got Quinn Ewers.
Carson Beck.
Yeah, right. Then down in Georgia. So, I mean, there's other quarterbacks.
There's going to be a ton of quarterbacks that we'll be talking about once we get closer to the draft, yes.
And there'll be another out-of-nowhere guy like there always is. And he'll just pop up, and then someone will fall in love with him, and he'll get drafted 6th overall and probably shouldn't, like Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson and J.J. McCarthy and all that stuff. Do they really have on Tankathon? I'm looking there. The Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants right now.
They have Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants right now. Yes, yeah, but it's
I would
all,
sign this, for the, that immediately.
But these things
I know.
Change constantly.
Of course they do. I mean, and it's crazy to think about. I'm just thinking how much fun that would be.
Right now, your top three quarterbacks, as we sit here right now, and in no particular order, by the way, is Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, and Quinn Ewers from Texas.
Yep.
So those three guys, Georgia, Colorado, and Texas, those three quarterbacks, they'll probably most likely be top five players.
Yeah. I mean, generally what happens, those guys get massively overrated, some of them, as it gets closer to the draft because teams know how important it is to get those guys in their rookie contracts to be able to build a great roster around them, and they want to take a risk.
That's exactly right. So... it will be interesting once we get to that point and once we start looking at all of that, but it's still way too early for that to happen. You know, I don't know. Can the Giants, you know, can they turn something around? It doesn't feel like it. It feels like they are stuck going the other way again.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I didn't think the Mets had any shot of turning it around this year, and I had lots of reasons why, and they ended up doing it. So I know it's a completely different sport and a completely different organization, but I felt the same way. I was looking at the roster. I said, this is a year where it's a transition year. They didn't really go into the off season trying to go crazy to get better. And they woke up and have had this amazing second half to the season. I mean, I don't see it with the Giants, especially with the schedule, but hell, we didn't think in 2022 that team was going to be any good, and they ended up going to the divisional round.
No, I know. So the interesting thing is that, you know, you got the Grimace back, you got the Oh My God back, the OMG back, you got the Rally Pimp back. When are they bringing Hawk Tua back?
Yeah, I mean, she's really gotten a bad rap here because no one is looking to see what her record has been or the Mets record has been after throwing out the first pitch. But I got a feeling she's not going to come back.
Yeah, too bad. And I heard Jerry talking about this morning. I have no idea who the Nationals are. Like, you don't know any of these players.
Oh, yeah.
And yet the game is still 2-1. You know what I mean? It's like, who are, like, they're, I feel like they're playing with old, and I know they have young talent because they were talking about it last night. But I have no idea who anybody on the Nationals is.
Well, I mean, it's September baseball on a bad team, and they're throwing a bunch of young guys out there. It's you know, it's classic.
And the Mets are just barely beating them.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many times have we seen that? You know, back in 07 and 08, it was the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins at the time. You know, it's they were a bad team, but they were young and they were hungry, and there were September call-ups, and they ended up beating them in these critical situations. Terrible. So it happens. But they won. You know, it would have been a hell of a lot worse if they didn't win that one last night. Thanks to Starling Marte, who was picking up his buddy Francisco Lindor, who's going to be out for a couple games.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is here. He's got a sports update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We start with the Monday Night Football game in Philadelphia, the play that everybody's discussing. You've got the Eagles with a first down, would pretty much run the clock out. Could have run for it on third and three, so instead they do this.
Third down three, Hurts under center, Barkley the back. Two tight ends, four in the defensive line. Hurts gets the snap, fakes the handoff, rolls to the near side, short pass Barkley, 10, and he dropped the ball. Dropped the ball as he was turning his head on the near sideline at the 7. Turning his head, took his eye off the ball.
Yes, he did, and he dropped it, and the Eagles would settle for 3, go up 6, but still plenty of time on the clock, even though Atlanta, I think, was out of timeouts at this point. Kirk Cousins.
They were out of timeout, so they could have ran the ball. They could have ran it down another 40 seconds, kicked the field goal, and left less time on the clock. That's the discussion point.
Right. So instead, they had plenty of time, and Cousins had wide open receiver after wide open receiver, and he made beautiful passes to all of them, including the game winner.
Third down, 5. The ball at the 8 of Philadelphia. Cousins in the gun. 3 receivers right. Looks into the nickel. The shotgun snap. The center block, the line drive throw, far side, caught, touchdown at the pylon. London caught it, chest high, touchdown, Atlanta.
Yeah, and that again, so Kevin Hill, like what's that? Going on the fan?
Like that?
So, yeah, you like that? That? We do like that. So he's on the left hash, and he's throwing it all the way to the right sideline. And it was right on the money.
And not speaking of on the money, not to get lost here, he then gets the flag for unsportsmanlike conduct, making the extra point a 48-yarder. That Koo makes to put them up 1, and then you get the interception as Hurts is pressured the other way, and the Falcons wind up beating the Eagles 22-21. Here was London on ESPN, happy to quiet those Eagle fans.
I was trying to hear them at the end. I thought I was going to get a standing ovation, but I didn't. It was good to silence a crowd like this, and it was a good win for us to come out and build on.
Now, that was on SportsCenter.
Would you fight that voice?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
I think I would, it would be a bad decision.
It wouldn't be a good one.
Yeah.
It would be a very bad decision, but so, I think I would just based on that sound.
So he was on SportsCenter, and Scott Van Pelt taking a lot of flack because as he stood on the field coming back from break, maybe 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes to go, and it certainly looked like the Eagles were going to win. He was promoting his show.
We're going to visit with Joe and Troy, show you the key moments of this game, and take you inside the winning locker room, which appears it will be the home seed. We'll see you when this one is done. Joe, Troy, back to you.
Well, it wasn't the home team.
Turned out to be the visiting team.
Yeah,
that's why you got to be careful.
That's the way that goes. In that home team's locker room, though, it's Saquon Barkley.
Drop the ball. Let my team know today. Showing how to put the defense in that position, made that catch, game over. Relax, went back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
Oh, wait, his old habits? Did he say he relaxed and went back to his old habits, or he relaxed and he has to go
drop the ball. My team not today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch, game over. Relax, went back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
I don't know what he's saying, to be quite honest. I'm not really sure.
I think what he's trying to say, and it came across weird, was that he's just got to relax and get back into his routine and make sure stuff like this doesn't happen again. It just sounded odd.
It did sound odd, as does Nick Sirianni usually when he speaks. Why they went with that play?
They were running a certain defense and it, junking it up in the middle. So we're trying to go on around the outside, and it didn't work.
And then he
absolutely the perfect play. It was the perfect play.
It wins
they
the
practiced
game.
It 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Just catch the ball.
And then he shut down the reporter who was asking about the play calling.
Just to clarify on the calls, though, Kellen's making, that
Kellen's the offense coordinator. Right, makes so. Kellen's offense coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Yeah, and he's aggressive in his play calling and called the right play. I'm like, Jesus, God, players, just execute the play. Stop asking the coach stupid questions about the play call. The play was there. It should have been made. It wasn't made. It's not the coach's fault. Saquon Barkley
catch
took ownership. I dropped it. I let my team down.
That's right.
Boom. Done. End.
Week three, as soon as week two closes, week three opens Thursday night with the Jets and the Patriots. An MRI did confirm Jermaine Johnson suffered a ruptured Achilles.
Ugh.
Rob Saleh was asked how the Johnson injury influences negotiations with Hassan Reddick.
You know, I'll say it again. We got the guys that we have in our room, guys that we love, the guys that we've been working with, and those are the guys we're going to continue to work with until everyone figures it out.
And we'll see when that is. Now, those guys that they do have include one, Quinnen Williams, pretty damn good. He is certainly looking forward to Thursday.
I'm super excited for the fans, man, because we went to Tennessee last weekend. It was probably half of the stadium with Jets fans, so to have our own stadium at a home game with a Jets fan can come and turn up, man, it's going to be unbelievable. So definitely got to be super prepared so we can bring the win.
So the Jets are riding high. Good road win. Come home. Giants, not so much. They're 0-2. They're in Cleveland Sunday. We did find out Graham Gano will be out a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. Brian Daboll, though, on a Zoom conference with the media yesterday, not panicking with the 0-2 start.
Two games in, so it's a long NFL season. Again, we had a good week of preparation. Thought there were a lot of good things in the game. I thought there was improvements, again, from week one to week two, and that's where our focus needs to be.
And they just didn't win. Now, some might believe
they got to stop the run, dude. Got that? You know, that's they're getting gashed.
Yes, and giving up a lot of time of possession.
That's
on the field way too long.
Jerry, you know, like what's the first thing that a defense has got to do?
Got to stop the run.
All right, thank you.
And you got to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, but you got to stop the run.
You stop the run first.
I asked you the first thing.
Then get after the quarterback.
Yeah, but you got to stop the run.
You got to stop the run.
If you don't stop the run, then what happens?
You get gashed.
And when you get gashed, then what happens?
You lose big.
And you lose the time of possession. Your offense has got to be out there. They can't get out there on the field. That's why they only had
no
six
rhythm.
Possessions.
Exactly right. Now, if you're a Giant fan, you might believe Daboll and how positive he's trying to be. Others don't. This is what I would call the Mike and the Mad Dog portion of the program, is Mike on his podcast. Daboll not doing so great.
I'll tell you something. When I see Daboll now, I don't see the coach who had a little glint in his eye and a little bit of a swagger in his first year. I see a guy who looks like he wants to jump off a bridge.
So that's a bit strong.
And drown to death.
That's what, I mean, you could see in his eyes. He just wants to jump off a bridge and drown to death.
Brian okay. Daboll, dead. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. Goodbye, thanks. Have a great life.
So that's Mike's side. Meantime, while breaking down the league, Chris Russo liked what he saw out of the Seahawks, specifically from Geno Smith and wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba. Or whoever he's talking about.
Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10, Jackson Smith, Njuguba, the kid from Ohio State, he caught 12 more.
I mean, that's not even close.
I mean, that's quality broadcasting.
That's there, not even, can you say, I can't, play that again.
Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10, Jackson Smith, Njuguba, the kid from Ohio State.
Njuguba? What the
Njuguba? I mean, that is one of the worst ones ever. That makes Chwakwan Barkley sound pretty close. That is so
oh
bad.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that on Sirius or was that on ESPN?
That was on Sirius XM.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Mike was on his podcast. Chris was on his radio show. So, yes.
Cool. So one expects a guy to jump off the bridge. The other guy can't pronounce his name.
Two different people, at least, but yes. All right, around the league, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel offering an update on Tua and where he's at in terms of his recovery.
He's, was downstairs today, smiling with his teammates. He's working with trainers and medical staff diligently, and as far as I'm concerned. You're in the protocol.
God, it takes him a long time to get the words out.
Yes. I mean, he's working with the trainers on what? Are they putting his head in a bucket of ice? What are they doing?
I don't know.
There's really nothing you can do. You're working with the trainers. Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if there was a follow-up to that.
Don't get over and get your head in this bucket of ice.
I'm not sure. Mike McDaniel. I just saw him earlier. His head is in a bucket of ice. Cooling off with the trainers.
He's a different guy, man.
Holy man.
Yeah. Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco out 6 weeks with an ankle injury. 49ers wide receiver Debo Samuel out at least a couple of weeks with a calf injury. Cooper Kupp of the Rams going to miss significant time with a sprained ankle. And you guys referenced Bryce Young being benched by the Panthers. Andy Dalton starts Sunday against the Raiders. All right, we get to the baseball game last night at Citi Field where the Mets didn't do a whole lot offensively until the eighth inning when one Tyrone Taylor starts it off with a double. He then scores on an infield single by Jose Iglesias. Good relief pitching after very good starting pitching by Sean Manaea. In the 10th, it was Starling Marte that would do the trick.
First and third, one out, tie game, 3-1 pitch. Line, left field, base hit to the corner. Marte wins it for the Mets. Bader scores. The Mets come back to beat Washington 2-1 in 10.
And that was Keith Wright. He sounds more and more like... We went to Anaheim.
Wayne Randazzo?
He sounds more and more like Randazzo to me every day, but that was Keith Ratt on Mets Odyssey Radio. Game-winning hit for Starling Marte, 2-1. The Mets beat the Nationals in 10. Here was Marte on SNY. Doesn't matter who gets the big hit. As long as we get the W, that's what's important here.
You know, it feels good. Not because I just got a hit, but because we won the game. Obviously, each and every day, the games are important. So if you lose this game, it hurts. But if you win this game, it's a really important thing. So you just kind of have to keep staying positive and trying to go out there and kind of win games.
And so they're now 82-68, take a one-game lead on Atlanta for that third wild card spot. Here was Iglesias. Just in terms of winning the game without Francisco Lindor, who we know will miss a couple of days now.
It's going to take, this is not one team, one-man show. This is going to take everybody. And, it was a great win. It was a great win. I take it. I love it. And let's come back and win tomorrow.
I know you guys were probably watching the football game last night, but there was a play up the middle with him and what's the guy's name? Eddie Alvarez, yes. This new guy. So Alvarez is playing second. Iglesias is at short. And there is a ball up the middle that Alvarez makes with the glove and just, you see these guys do all the time.
It, yeah.
But two guys that aren't playing in these positions all the time, it was pretty impressive.
You know, the amazing thing is... Iglesias has two hits last night.
He did.
Yeah, so he plays shortstop, like gets a couple hits. Yeah, I mean, he's been like a really, really great ad. And the OMG stuff has been great, too. But he's had a couple big moments here through the season.
No question. And playing and pitching great has been Manaea. 7 innings again last night. He says these games feel like October.
They're huge. You can definitely feel it. As far as I'm concerned, we're definitely in a playoff atmosphere, and I think we got to take it like that every day. And those one-run ball games are huge if you can get out on top. And it was a very exciting one.
He continues to really dominate as a starter for the last couple of months. Buto strikes out the side in the eighth. Edwin Diaz pitched the ninth. Reed Garrett the win as he threw the tenth. Series continues tonight. Tyler McGill makes the start. I mentioned the Mets one game up on Atlanta. The Braves got shellacked by the Dodgers 9-0. I knew the Dodgers beat them Sunday night. I did not realize they put up a bunch of runs in the last inning to beat them. So the Dodgers took the last two from Atlanta.
Amazing. It's like I believe the Dodgers, much like the Yankees, are starting to find their sea legs, right?
The Dodgers, that's the right time to do it. Atlanta won the first two games of that series.
Right, they have 89 wins, 89-61 right now.
Yeah, I only care about 83.
I know you do. I know. Come on.
One more tonight.
Need to Mets win tonight.
That's it.
Finding Jerry wins his bet.
That's right. Finding their sea legs.
Nobody says that anymore. So I'm trying to come up with things that
have been said. Or harken, as you've been saying
I've
lately.
I've been saying harken. Yeah, I've used that a little bit.
That's
you know what? Kind of goes
this
along.
This is a find your sea leg spot. That's what this is.
Kind of goes along with gout.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've got a story about that coming up.
All right. Well, tonight in Seattle, you got the Yankees and Mariners. Luis Gil on the mound. First pitch, 9:40 here on the Fan.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you've been listening to the show since I started, I have throughout the years mentioned having gout and how tough it is and how much pain. And if you've ever had it, you know. And I just was a complete idiot. I wasn't thinking at all. On Sunday night, we go to a restaurant that's known for their mussels. I don't eat a lot of mussels, but this place is like, you got to get the mussels. So when you're with a bunch of people, you get a couple of different pots of mussels and you share them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, mussels. But shellfish is one of those things that's not great for gout.
W.gout.com.
Yeah, W.gout.com. David Wells.
David Wells yelling at us.
Yeah, so I, so all right, got the mussels. And then I'm like, you know, I'm driving, so I don't really want to have a lot of alcohol, of course. So I'm going to have a beer. Beer, another thing that is a trigger for gout. I'm not thinking. I'm having a good time with some friends, shellfish, and beer. So yesterday I show up, I start to get, I'm like, just a little bit creaky in my foot. I actually say something to Jerry about it because he was limping around. I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel something too. As the day goes on, and Boomer and I were at a charity golf tournament yesterday, just minute by minute, my left ankle and foot start blowing up out on the golf course. And I go from a man who was able to walk to someone who was limping so severely. Every single person that saw me goes, are you okay? Are you okay? Is there anything you can do for you? Are you okay? Is there anything you can do for you? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to finish this thing and I'm going to get through the tournament and I'm going to go home and I gotta find some meds. So I'm like, I got to get to one of these minute clinics so they can give me some medication, and I got to get it done before the pharmacy closes. So I go to this place. Like, it's just so Long Island. I look up, what's the closest one? It's on the Sunrise Highway Service Road between a Vitamin Shop and a Panera, right? It's just like the seventh.
Strip mall.
Yeah, a strip mall, like the seventh circle.
We are in the land of strip malls, you know that.
Right. So I walk in there, I sign in. When I tell you I lasted a minute and a half in that place before I got up and left, I am not exaggerating. Because the second I sat down in the chair, you've got people like, oh my God.
Thank God for these places, because all these people would be flooding the emergency rooms of all the hospitals, which is also going on, by the way.
Oh my God.
But anyway, yeah, so you were overwhelmed by too many people in this MedExpress place.
Right, I'm like, but I don't need to walk out of there with some sort of flu or COVID or pneumonia or whatever the hell's going on. I don't need that now. You know, like, I'd rather be limping around than have to deal with that.
Smallpox.
Oh my God. You know, and these people, they don't even care. Just cough, cough. I'm like, what are you doing? Cover your mouth, you pigs. Like, what? God. I'm like, what in the hell is going on? So I get up and I leave, and I'm like,
how many people were in there? What number were you in line? Did they make you take a number, or did you have to sign in on
an
iPad?
No, you signed in. It's funny. So I signed in at...
On an iPad, right?
Yeah. I signed in at 6:13. And then I left at 6:15, and I got a text at 7:48 saying, we're ready for you.
Whew. Whew.
Yeah, so I'm glad I didn't sit in there. Yeah. But, you know, this one guy comes up to the desk. He's like, well, the people are in front of me. Like, you know, what's the last name? We're Jones. He's like, I got about three. He's like, okay, good. Goes and sits back down. I mean, he looked like he was going to die within the hour, this guy.
Yeah.
It just was horrendous. So anyway, I'm like, I'm in a pinch here, and I'm like, I'm thinking, like, all right, what can I do? What can I do? So there's a guy who plays Sunday morning golf with us, and we've shared our gout stories. So I call him up, and I'm like, hey, man, like, I know you've had gout. I was like, you got anything in your house? Anything at all? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I've got this indomethacin that I have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you need some of that, because, but I'm, you know, I'm not home, but my wife's home. He's like, you know where I live, right? I'm like, yeah. So I roll into the driveway, and he's like, yeah, I'll tell her to come out so you don't have to get out of the car, you know, and limp.
So he totally understood how bad it was, flare-up was.
Right. So he goes, he said, it's the only time I've ever cried as an adult, he said, is what I've had to count.
Jesus.
So I pull into the driveway, and his wife comes out with this little baggie of indomethacin.
Oh, wow.
And then she goes, hey, she says, this is fun. This is my first drug deal.
So...
yeah,
so you start feeling better immediately, or take a while.
You know what? It's taken the edge off, but I've tried indomethacin before.
Yeah,
and it doesn't work like the prednisone works. So I'm going to get at some point today. I've got to get prednisone to knock it out.
Little Medro dose pack. Hey, you know, so we don't need people calling and talking about gout stuff. We know what we're dealing with here. I mean, you know, watching you limp around yesterday on the golf course, and you made it all the way through. Thank God we had carts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of interesting because when you first started, you were not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the day went on, all of a sudden you started playing better. And I don't know, it was because the gout was getting worse and your golf got better. That was a weird thing.
Yeah, you know, I think I was thinking about that too. I was thinking probably because my brain was on something else more. Like, I wasn't thinking about the golf swing as much. I was thinking about how much my foot hurt. So it's like I got out of my head with the golf swing a little bit. It's whatever.
I say it was a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah, no,
great golf course. That Brookville golf course, man.
Yeah.
Turned out to be great. That was I didn't realize it, but that was a Seth Rayner designed golf course.
Yeah.
And it looked like it, and it felt like it, and I was like, wow, this is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, and you couldn't stop showing me up, because every time I hit a good shot, you would hit a better shot. And I was like, man, it's like finally we're gonna use one of my shots in a scramble. 103 yards out, I put it to 4 feet. I'm like, all right, nice. We got this birdie putt. Boomer goes up and holes it for eagle from 103 yards away. I'm like,
well, I just got to make sure that you understand that there is a pecking order.
I understood.
You are not inside my. I don't want to say this. Let's just put it this way. You bring the best out in me.
Okay, good.
All right,
good,
that's good. How we'll say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was great.
But, you know, hopefully the gout subsides. You got to watch what you're eating. So,
I know, as I mentioned.
And as I was telling you, had a hell of a summer.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a summer. You went to Italy.
Yep.
You've been playing a lot of golf. You've been getting around.
Yeah.
You've been having a lot of good food. You've been going out to dinner quite a bit. We got to back that off for
it was the shellfish in the
theater. but it builds up. It builds up over time.
Yeah, so this was ugly. It really ugly.
We just got to, you know, stop for a little bit.
We're stopping.
Let's just hit the brakes, hit the air brakes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you. Trust me. After yesterday, I'm stopping.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.